Welcome back to another episode of Keeping Up With Data. Very exciting guest today with Emil Pastor from Neo4j and my next akin, Paulain. Obviously, Emil, welcome. It's been a long time coming. Neo4j is going to be the topic of this one, so fully Neo4j centric. But I suppose before we jump into that, if you want to give the users or the listeners even a intro to your background, where you've come from, how you landed in data, a bit of a overview of who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure to be invited in the podcast. I'm currently the head of solutions engineering at Neo4j for Australia and New Zealand, primarily helping customers unlock the value of not just data points, but also complex relationship and connections. Prior to Neo4j, in terms of my journey in the data, by background, I'm an electronics engineer. My ideal job should be a network or a telco engineer. That was my first job.
Yeah.
I realized that that's not what I'm meant for.
Yeah.
And I jumped into the world of data when I was referred to by my friend to Teradata. Back then in the Manila office, they're building the Manila office to serve the Asia Pacific region. That was like 13, 14 years back. And that's where I learned the basics of, SQL, data warehousing and whatnot. Today, I'm still enjoying the work that I'm doing, in terms of analyzing data. My journey has always been how you'd be able to solve business problems using data and, machine learning and AI.
Yeah.
So
you've come in a bit of architecture as well. So that's probably intertwined a bit into the graphy style databases with Neo4j. I think as well, you'd come to Microsoft as well, architecture in Azure platforms and that sort of stuff. So you've got that. Not just engineering.
No, not just engineering, more on the architecture plus consulting. So, got my experience from Microsoft in terms of architecting Azure platform data and AI services specifically, and consulting with EY and McKinsey. That's more of like the MBA-ish kind of experience of how would you connect technology and data with business value.
So you've seen a lot in terms of the evolution of tech from the Teradata days back in Manila to where it is now, and obviously come through some really good companies and consulting as well. You've seen a lot of different walks of life and different businesses and how different companies react to different platforms. And now Neo4j, obviously, how did you, in my view, a little bit different to the Microsoft and the architecture platform, how did you land with Neo4j?
Yeah, so I first learned Neo4j in the university back in 2016 when I was doing my master's degree. They taught us advanced data model. Part of that is teaching graph database, document database, HBase and the likes, those types of technology back then. And Neo4j got me and made me interested in the technology itself. I thought that was quite useful because having to work with, crunching in data in both Teradata and Spark, I always do joins. And then I realized that in graph database, I just need to ingest data. Everything is pre-joined. So it's very easy for me to be able to retrieve data, analyze, and make sense of it, especially in what we call a complex relationship.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to do, a real-life example would be if I'm going to track money flow, let's say between from myself to you and to Paulain, if there are several transactions going on, that translates from a technology perspective, a lot of joins, a lot of what we call like self-joins or VLOOKUP if we're talking about spreadsheet. Graph enables you to be able to traverse that information much easier and much faster relative to if you do it in traditional spreadsheet-like form, in a form of rows and columns.
Yeah, it's a complex one. I suppose maybe for some of the less experienced users of data in general, Neo4j might be totally alien, and what the hell is Neo4j? If you were to break it down to, if you're trying to describe it to my mother back home in Ireland, who could barely even enter her password into a laptop. Actually, no, she's good on the laptop, but breaking it down even into the most simplistic of formats, how would you describe it for everyone to fully understand?
Yeah, so in layman's term, think about it as, first, we have to dissect. You have your data, right? And then with the data, organizations right now are building their version of warehouse or lakehouse. So you have, think of data as your ingredients, when you're cooking. Let's say you're cooking spaghetti or something. As it enters the warehouse or the lakehouse, you try to segregate or curate your ingredients, right? You put all the meats in the freezer. you know, these ingredients, you know, just on the bench and et cetera, et cetera. That's how you curate their information. Mm-hmm. What Graph provides or Gear4j provides is being able to connect. It's like a recipe of how I'll be able to cook a spaghetti or any other dish, right? First, I know what ingredients I need, how I will process it, and how it's going to form, you know, with the right kind of dish.
Yeah, that makes it quite simple, all right? It's like, it's obviously, it's meant for complex data systems, isn't it? Startups are not going to have much value from it. They don't have the data. Would I be correct in saying so?
I would disagree on that. So Neo4j is being used by both, you know, small, medium enterprise startups, as well as big enterprises. So as an example, most recently, Prospa has spoken to Gartner about their use case. Prospa is, you know, for those who doesn't know, is one of Australia's leading fintech organization who provides loans, you know, to small medium businesses. So prior to Neo4j, they don't have an ability to be able to identify if Sean is applying to a loan. Did he apply historically? Did he use a different identity? Right? Because Sean Gray can be an SG or just Sean.
Yeah, exactly.
Different emails, different phone numbers. Yeah. What it means by that, from customer perspective, Prospa has an interest to, one, provide loans and approve loans as much as possible. But number two, it also needs to de-risk it itself from lending in bad loans for those who doesn't deserve it or they don't have the capacity to pay anymore.
Yeah.
So what Neo4j provides is create that connective view of a customer. So Sean, and then say you have a second profile called Sean Gray. You have, you know, all the information between Sean and Sean Gray so that when they do credit risk assessment, one, it, you know, avoids any manual work.
Yeah.
It's based on factual data and transactional data that they have internally and externally. And three, it makes the processing of the loan significantly faster. So from what was shared, I think it's down from, you know, days to just a few hours of processing in terms of phone loan approval.
That's a really good explanation.
Yeah.
It actually really helps visualize what you're talking about, especially our non-technical audience. I've also heard it described as how our brain works, similar to how silver neurons interact with each other. Is that true? Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Because if you think about, you know, our brain and the way we do decision, humans do decision making, we do decision making based on connected information, right? When you go to grocery, like, you know, going back again, what dish do I want?
Image.
What are the ingredients?
It's after your eyes.
Which section? What specific brand? So it's a layer of multidimensional data points for you to make, you know, a good, what you call like a good decision.
Yeah.
And that's what Neo4j is. Like, it's mimicking a brain rather than representing it as a spreadsheet.
That makes sense. And it's, so would it be correct in saying that it's almost like one single source of truth with the example that you mentioned around, you could have an SG, a Sean Gray, a different mobile number associated with each, an email, and traditionally with a database, you probably need to query that for the name.
Yeah.
SQL queries run it, but it's all in the one place because it recognizes through memory.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, you know, the way data is represented in a graph is rather than, you know, storing it in a spreadsheet, you connect all of those spreadsheets, each of the rows in the spreadsheet, and how they interact with each other.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's good. So, like, it's different, obviously, to your relational databases then, obviously. I think you mentioned, or I've heard, it's programmed through Java at the start. Was that where it initially kind of
the foundations were built? From an architectural point of view, it's Java based. Hence the reason why we were called Neo4j. Like, the J means Java.
Ah.
From a language perspective, we have what we call Cypher. Cypher has now evolved into what we call Graph Query language. It's similar to SQL, but it's meant to do for any graph database. So it's a standard that was built on top of Neo4j.
So Cypher wouldn't work in traditional databases. It's specifically for...
It's specific for graph. It's so last year, ISO, I think around April last year, standardized GQL as the second database after SQL.
GQL.
Because it's an acknowledgement that, you know, data analysis is not just, you know, represented in a form of rows and columns.
See.
Right? You need to connect those information, especially right now that, you know, organizations are looking to leverage their data across multiple AI applications.
Yeah. So when you discuss the use case with Prosper, obviously their fintech loan style business, is there a specific sector that would get most value from Neo4j? Like maybe banking is great for it because it really helps with specifics in there? Or is it there is a place for every industry in Neo4j?
Yeah, I think the beauty of Graph is there's always place in the industry across different business functions. So let me give you an example. For financial services, we work well with financial crime, you know, fraud, scam, anti-money laundering. So you would appreciate that you just don't need data points, but you need information about the customer, how they interact with other customer, how they transact, to be able to see the money flow from end to end. And from there, you know, we work with a lot of financial institutions here in Australia and globally to detect, prevent, and also investigate fraud or any financial crime. In telecommunications company, as an example, telco is a graph, naturally, right? Like routers and switches, you know, the way we send data. So I realized that, you know, I'm still actually doing my actual career, but in a different lens. Rather than configuring routers, it's analyzing network data or network information. Yes, absolutely.
Full graph.
Full graph. Yeah. There are a lot of use cases where graph can apply, you know, financial services, telcos. You also have, you know, the likes of pharmaceutical companies, because chemistry is about connections between one chemical to another.
Yeah.
So we work with, you know, the top pharmaceutical companies across multiple use cases for drug reuse, protein-to-protein interaction and whatnot. So
wow, that's cool. That is cool. And do you think it's going to be something now that, like, obviously we had Michael in from Fabric side of things and talking about they had a bit of struggle at the start with getting it all out there. Neo4j, I didn't hear about it. I'm connected with you obviously 5-6 years at this stage and followed your journey through the different roles that you've been with, and I've never heard of Neo4j until you joined it, really. And now I do have one or two contractors of mine that are out in different businesses working on that graph, and I think you obviously know some of those guys as well. But to me, it's relatively new.
Yes, I think for a few reasons. One, the world is built on spreadsheets. I think true to our generation, we were taught on SQL, right? It was only more recently, I think when I studied post-grad, that they started to teach different data representation. So on that front, it's a mindset shift. For any organization, it's a change management process.
Okay.
For them to shift from just representing data solely on rows and columns to representing their data in the form of a network. Like, how does my customer interact with our product, and how does this product interact with other customers? I think that's one reason. And then second is, we've done a lot of, from our perspective, a lot of investment educating the market on the business value of Graph and how Graph can, you know, can be supported across multiple use cases.
Yeah. So it was more, rather than rush to market and make a lot of noise, it was let's get the foundations ready to go so that we don't have to configure along the way and fix problems as we go.
Yes, absolutely.
That's cool. Emil, in terms of, I guess, misconceptions about Neo4j's or graph databases in general, anything you can shed light on that?
Yeah, I think two. One, they think that graph database can replace data warehouse. We are very clear with our, you know, with any of our conversations that there's always a place for data warehouse or lake house and graph together. We can sit on top of a lake house and a warehouse to connect the information that they've curated in the warehouse or in the lake house and coexist to generate value and solve business problems for a customer. And number two, they thought that graphs are, you know, the nice visualization or network. Graphs are actually the database. It's that. And then I think three is they thought that, you know, bar charts, when they think about graphs, those are the bar charts. It's actually charts.
Yes.
Line chart, bar chart, pie chart. And graph is a network of information.
You sort of touched on AI, right? It's the buzzword. It's what's kicking off at the moment. People can't stop talking about it. But where do, I guess, graph databases or, you know, in companies like Neo4j fit into that revolution? Like, where is it headed from your perspective?
Yeah, so we serve as the, you know, the database to enable multiple AI use cases. Like, both of you might have heard about RAG, Retrieval Augmented Generation. There's a variation of that, an evolution of that called GraphRAG. And what GraphRAG does is, instead of using vector only, vector database, it uses knowledge graph as the knowledge base. So what are the advantages of using that? I think number one, you're not only taking advantage on the ability to do and search data through vector, but also get more context. Because each relationship in a graph represents a context. Say if Emil knows Sean, knows as a relationship is a context that you can provide to any large language model, and you know it provides you a much more accurate and better answer. And I think number two is vector, when you see the representation of vector, it's just a random number.
Yeah.
Like no one would understand. With graph, as a data structure of graph, it's quite visual, naturally. So it enables you to easily explain why the AI make that decision or generates that output.
Not that.
Okay, so it does link into your data warehouses then. It does link into your lakehouses. Is it fit for purpose with like, is there a place for it to kind of hook into any database like Snowflake, on-prem, anything at all?
Yes, we do have, you know, integrations. I think that's one of the questions that we mostly get from when we're talking about, you know, different customers. How does Neo4j integrate with the rest of the enterprise ecosystem? So we do have connectors with, you know, the likes of Snowflake, Databricks, on-premise, or any of the, you know, other databases.
Yeah, fair enough. I always like to ask this question, but, you know, especially when we get specialists from companies, but if I'm a business leader listening to this right now, you've given some really good use cases, by the way, but like, how do I know if I need this for our company and what we're trying to build? Like, is there anything you can sort of maybe help us highlight, like common problems that you see customers come to you with and say, right, this is an issue for us. Will this solve our problems, basically?
You're going to have 100 million people listening to this now, so this is a big sell.
Yeah.
No pressure.
I think it boils down to two questions. I think one, you know, does my current business problem have the right tools to be able to generate value out of it or solve the business problems? I think the easiest one where everyone can understand is fraud. And we're talking with one of the big four banks about implementing, you know, a fraud solution for them. When we ask and dig deep on what's their main problem with their existing capability, they realize that, one, it takes a lot of computation or compute power for them to figure out, you know, whether it's a fraudulent transaction or not. It takes them days, which means it's a lost opportunity for any organization. And number two, bad customer experience, right? Like people getting caught in a fraud or a scam. And then from there, we analyze and come up with a conclusion that the current technology that they have is not sufficient to be able to solve this business problem because they need analysis of complex connections that will then, you know, help solve that problem faster and more accurately.
Well, you know, have you seen much on the GRAG?
I have. You know, it has come up a few times. Like, it's not common, but often when I've looked at banking roles, for example, or things to do with fraud, yeah, they've mentioned sort of GRAG. Yeah. So I never actually, I didn't make the link with Neo4j, but
now you've got the info.
Yeah. Now I can lead with that. But no. Emil, what's been sort of the most exciting, I guess, maybe challenge or update since you've joined Neo4j? What's the latest, I guess?
Yeah, I think few. One is, you know, we've introduced graph analytics a few months ago, wherein it enables, you know, users of Snowflake or any other database to leverage graph algorithms. By graph algorithms means centrality, community detection to ask, you know, to find mules in a fraud use case or find the most important customer in a customer 360 or segment your customer into household. So I think that's number one. Second is our investment in AI, just like any other organization. May it be using AI-assisted tools to help customers generate their own Cypher query or GQL, but also generate their graph-based dashboards. I think that's the second one. And then the third is we're also working with enabling out-of-the-box, you know, agentic AI, where Neo4j is used as a knowledge base.
Off-the-shelf packages.
Yeah.
I seen something when I was reading, just before we wrap it all up soon enough, I'd seen something around Aura.
Yes.
What is that?
Yeah. So you can deploy Neo4j in two ways. One is what we call like self-managed, wherein you deploy it on-premise or in any of your, you know, cloud virtual machines. Right? It's good for organizations that has strict policy that only sensitive data should be deployed in their own data centers. What? We have Aura, which is a cloud managed offering. You know, it allows you to focus on using Graph rather than administering your Graph database. So it's a fully managed cloud solution. Graph database as a service available in, you know, Azure, AWS, yeah. GCP.
So these are all new additions that you're putting in. The more you grow, the more you, like, problems you uncover, obviously. Right, we can put a solution in for that problem type thing. Well, I suppose, like anything in life, it's always, there's no point talking tools. There's no point talking anything. It's like, bring it down to the total basics. Business problem, what are you trying to solve? You don't need to get every tool off the shelf and bring it all in and say, well, we've got all of these different tools. That's, there's just so much misconception now, isn't it? Everyone's just so, not dumbfounded by, but everyone is just led by the tools. I want to work on this, but why do you want to work on it? Like,
exactly.
What's the problem? What do we need to actually implement? I'm sure you've probably had cases where it's like you've consulted with people, you've had a business who maybe, we really want this, we've done the research, we really want this. And you've come in and you're like, as much as I want to put the business I work for into you guys, it's probably not the right solution for you.
We have, first, I think, you know, it's great to have many, what we call like graph enthusiasts across the market.
Yeah.
Every time I attend, like, you know, our meetup or other meetup, and when they figure that I'm from Neo4j, all of them love graph.
Yeah.
But when we go to different organizations, we try to also be thoughtful and deliberate, you know, on the problem that they're trying to solve. And we are upfront in saying, you know, you don't need graph for this. We only need, you know, three inner jobs. Yeah. Like, you don't need a complex, you know, relationship analysis to solve your problem. Like, for example, we've dealt with one of our, you know, prospects back then during the, you know, initial phase of RAG or GraphRAG. They said, oh, I want to do GraphRAG or, you know, use Neo4j for GenAI. And we ask why. And as we go and, you know, uncover the use case, it's only a simple Q&A. So we end up recommending you can just use a simple vector database to do a Q&A because it's just a very pointed, you ask, I just need the answer back.
Yeah. I mean, we usually wrap it up at the end of each podcast, probably more for you, like in terms of your own personal journey. You've worked at some amazing consultancies. You've worked for Microsoft, you're now Neo4j leading the engineering. What are three tips, I guess, you can give to an aspiring sort of data specialist or engineer to help them elevate their own career?
Yeah, I think one is you have to be constantly curious. Sounds cliche, but you have to love what you do. And second is, and this is what I say to my, you know, the team in Neo4j as well and others, is it's not just about the technology, but how you want to create impact out of the technology, right? How to create that business value. And that will not only help you with your current journey in your organization, but also will help you in the future as well. And I think three is, if you're working on, you know, the vendor or the consulting side, focus on, have customer empathy, focus on what they wanted to solve, want to make them successful.
Right.
And the rest will just create that reputation and, you know, everything else will follow.
I think that's beautiful and a beautiful way to finish because there's so many people that we meet with day to day. We talk about the business, straight away we're asking them, what are you guys up to? And they list a load of tools. It's like, that's not a problem. Like, that's, yes, you've got these tools to help you solve the problems. Everyone is so carried away with it now. And
there's so much tools in the market right now.
It's overwhelming.
It's very overwhelming.
People, obviously I'm not in data, but what I hear from all the leaders I speak with, it's like, literally start so basic, like, understand your data foundations, understand what hooks data up with what, how it's stored, why it's stored, and what the purpose of it is, and build the foundations. SQL is never, all of this, SQL is dead, this is dead, everything, no, it's not, it's all like, Teradata is still around, everything is still around from the 1980s as well, on-prem, SSIS, it's like, tools are there to help. There's going to be even more tools coming to the market now with AI and that sort of stuff. So.
Especially with AI, everyone just want to jump into AI. Sometimes we have clients who are, I want to do AI. And then when we ask a question, do you have, you know, data in this shape or form? So we don't have, then how will you generate value out of AI if you don't have the basics.
Hang on, I'll just take some shit out of the tin out there.
Shit in, shit out, right? Yeah, it always starts with that. Yeah, the value.
Thanks so much for coming in, Emil. No problem. It was great. I hope people got some value out of that, Neo4j. Stay tuned.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks, Emil.
Thank you.